Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning I want to chant the verse, text number 11, for those that have a book. So this is the follow-up verse from this often quoted, very important verse from the third chapter. Akarma sarvakamova moksha kama udaraditi vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Where Sukadev Goswami has taken his hammer and hit the nail one more time. Boom. This is it. Regardless of your position, whether you're liberated, whether you're desiring liberation, whether you're desiring all types of facilities within the material world, all three of those categories should engage in very strong, intense, vigorous, forceful, powerful, very determined devotional service. Tivra bhakti. That's where we left off yesterday evening. And one will understand that if they're udharadi, broad-minded, intelligent and thoughtful is the broad-minded soul. Intelligent is you can distinguish one thing from another thing. And broad-minded is that you understand you must do it. And you follow through with doing it. Not just armchair discernment, but application. And the application principle, the broad-minded soul can understand, applies even if I have so many material desires. Even if I desire liberation, or if I have no material desire, but only this bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra svasukhatvam, that my happiness is seeing the happiness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is my happiness, the happiness of the happiness of the beloved is the happiness of love. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's very short, powerful statement, in this material world there is no love. Meaning, real love is otherworldly. In this world, there's a reflection of the otherworldly love, and in this world, the contamination is, what's in it for me? The mercantile calculation, prompted by the mode of passion, I want to enjoy. And so, I'm going to make a plan whereby I will enjoy, because I want to enjoy. That's the justification. I want to enjoy. And so, this next verse is describing, Prabhupada calls, the plan makers for enjoyment. There's the impious and the pious plan makers for material enjoyment, or what's in it for me, enjoyment. And such persons cannot understand the transcendental nature of love, the transcendental nature of the object of love, and the process to achieve that. Meaning, they can't understand the conclusion of the Vedas properly. They may reject the Vedas altogether, as in the case of the atheistic plan makers, known as material scientists, Or it may be the religionist plan makers for material enjoyment that Shukadeva Goswami has already outlined in verses 2 through 9. The different kinds of I want to enjoy, with many subcategories. And the Vedic process for fulfilling material desire is found in that process, going back to Canto 1, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vyas is getting a grade on his PhD thesis. His professor, Professor Narada, is evaluating his thesis, saying, well, you haven't said things wrong, but you gave inordinate emphasis to how to fulfill I want to enjoy through various procedures of Vedic sacrifice and worship of the demigods and karma kanda, a preponderance of description on that side, but not sufficiently have you described the direct process of worshiping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereby getting on the other side of I want to enjoy. Because that spirit binds one to the material world, whether it's the Mayaya Paritagyana person, the jnani, the intellectual, the scientist, the should be but isn't Brahmana, should be, would be, but is misleading, is misled in misleading others, sector of society, because they're duskriti. They just don't want to surrender to Krishna. The core word is of this namam duskritana mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya prithagyana asurim bhavam ashitat. Because I'm preluding what the next verse is going to describe. But there's kriti, which means the fruits of piety, very much like punya. Then you put a prefix in front of kriti, and that's sukriti or duskriti. Just like at the end of class, we'll give out to everybody a crore of rupees. Wouldn't that be nice? Everyone can go home with a crore of rupees. Now, depending upon the consciousness that's inside, that crore of rupees will be used for something that will be elevating for society and something that might be degrading for oneself and society. The kriti is the $1 million, crore of rupees. Depending upon the consciousness inside, the merit that comes from pious activities can be properly used or improperly used. Jarasandha. Duskriti. Jarasandha was well known. Everybody knew it. That he was very charitable to Brahmanas. That's why Krishna chose the plan, let's go in disguise as Brahmanas, to Jarasandha. Krishna, Arjuna, Bhima, dressed in Brahmana's clothes, renunciate clothes. Here come these big lumbering Kshatriyas with massive shoulders and huge arms. Who are these Brahmanas? Anyway, they're Brahmanas, so at least they're dressed as Brahmanas. So any charity you would like, take my kingdom. Whatever you would like, you're Brahmanas. No, 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 we don't want your kingdom. We just want to fight with you. Oh, very good. Charity granted. But I won't fight with that little guy over there, Arjuna. He's a coward. Or Krishna's a coward. He runs from the battlefield. And Arjuna's a small fry. I'll fight that one. He had Kriti because of his punya. But it was, he's a Duskriti. He wanted to destroy Krishna with his Kriti. Always in enmity with Krishna and, as a consequence, those in relation to Krishna. And Sukriti is just the opposite. Whatever it is that one receives as a result of proper performance of Dharma is only for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartotayopakalpate. The benefits that are derived from pious activities are never to be used for sense gratification. That's the Sukriti mentality. And the Duskriti mentality is that's precisely what it's for. Sense gratification. And whether it's the Duskriti such as Jarasandha and so many other people of the world, or the worshippers of Ravana, worshippers of devas who want power, and the power is so I can dominate and destroy and rule and compete with God. Hiranyakashipu. These are names of personalities that are in the Duskriti category, and as Prabhupada explains, today we have very small asuras. But the mentality resembles the mega asuras. Little Hiranyakashipus. Little Ravanas. The little Ravanas, they have the same mentality. Steal the goddess of fortune and employ the goddess of fortune in my enjoyment. That's the mentality. So such persons, in both categories, the intellectuals who have the God-given capacity of intellect to understand the scriptures, but they refuse to accept the authority of the scripture, what to speak of, take guidance from those that can help them properly understand the scripture. Although the scripture is very, very clear and plain. One that doesn't have proper guidance can't understand that which is clear and plain. It's amazing. And it's universal. They cannot understand. Yoga Maya Samavrata. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Yoga Maya Samavrata. Mudhoyam Nabi Janati. Krishna covers the consciousness of those who are Duskriti. The Duskritis refuse, the characteristic of Duskriti is they refuse to surrender to Krishna. Na Mam Duskritana. Now one of the categories is mudha prapadyante. Namam duskritana prapadyante. Namam prapadyante. They don't surrender unto me. That's the banner. The name of the person that carries such a banner is a Duskriti, and there are four divisions of the army. Those were just plain foolish. Mudha. Namam duskritana mudha prapadyante. They wish because I want to stay with the context of the purport here. Prabhupada is identifying, I'll read the verse, Prabhupada is identifying two categories of persons that don't get it because they choose to not get it. Here is the message of the scripture. And their reply is, I choose to not get it. One way is I don't accept the authority, and the other is it means something else. I choose to not get it is the honest message. You ever had a conversation with somebody where it's you're trying to explain something and they just don't get it? It's so simple and they just don't get it because they choose to not get it. Because there's a predisposition, something else. And they're stuck on that something else, and no matter what you say, they don't get it because they choose to not get it. The message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transparently clear. When one takes the assistance of the representative of Krishna, then the curtain of Yoga Maya is drawn back. But when one refuses to take the assistance of the representatives of Krishna, the curtain is drawn, closed, and one cannot see. So, these three different categories, akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, the recommendation is tivrena bhakti yogena. That is the answer to his question, Maharaj Pariksit's question, what is recommended for all living beings, and particularly for those that are about to die, tivra bhakti. Then he says, all the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods cannot attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. So, Prabhupada is just editor's license. He's added in the worship of multi-demigods because that was the topic that was discussed just previously. And that worship of multi-demigods is a subset of those that choose to propose to repose worship propensity not upon the Supreme. The recommendation is repose worship propensity upon the Supreme. It's like in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks a very poignant question. He asks Krishna, paraphrasing, what if somebody does not have faith in your words? Do they not have faith in something? The essence of the question is not faith intrinsic to the soul? And the answer is yes. Faith is intrinsic to the soul. And if one does not have faith in the Supreme, one will have faith in something else. Because faith is intrinsic to the soul. And what are those divisions of faith? Modes of nature and the combination. Those have faith in getting what they want by worship of the devatas. That's one category. Those that have the interest of getting what they want through fruitive activity, passion, they worship humans. And others worship ghosts and spirits. Mode of ignorance. But they'll have faith in something because it's intrinsic to the soul. Worship. In nectar devotion we find worship is found in all categories of human society, even in Aborigine society, where they worship something in nature. They worship a tree, or they worship a waterfalls, or they worship a sunset, or they worship something, because that tendency is there. In the purified, this is the way to understand it. In the purified state, this is what the purified state is. So what happens when you're not in the purified state? It's going to be in something other, filtered through and distorted by the modes of nature. But propensity will still be there. So those that have some intelligence, enough to take shelter of the Vedas, but not enough intelligence to recognize the limits of their intelligence, which then says, I need guidance in understanding this. Those that have limited intelligence, then they worship other ways, which has been identified. So it's not that Shukadev Goswami is advocating that Maharaj Parikshit, at the time of death, goes to worship various demigods to have long life or good sex life or power or fame or good health or something. He's not advocating that. He's advocating Nikshaya Sodayaha, the highest benediction that life can offer. I'm going to take a little detour for a moment. Hope you don't mind. And I want to just express some appreciation of the poetry of the Bhagavatam. I guess it's just one of those things that I like. The poetry of the Bhagavatam, by that, there's many ways to appreciate. But one of the components of the beauty and symmetry and the poetry of the Bhagavatam is certain phrases, that when those phrases are repeated like a refrain, just like the Hare Krishna mantra, it's the same series of words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. There's not a lot of variation. It's the same mantra. The Bhagavatam has the same message as the Hare Krishna mantra, but there is variation, but there's also refrains. And with those refrains, there's packed up message. So when you hear the refrain, especially when you become a relisher of the Bhagavatam and you've entered, as far as Krishna permits, deeply into the message of the Bhagavatam, just hearing those phrases, it brings immense meaning, just filling your consciousness. Like, you've heard Prabhupada's lectures, and from time to time he'll just mention a phrase. It's just like a piece of a verse, a sloka. But within that phrase is packed up so much meaning, and sometimes Prabhupada expands the meaning, sometimes he really gets into expanding the meaning, but sometimes he just says the phrase. Within the phrase, there's so much meaning. And the acharya unpacks the meaning, then packs it back up again, just in the phrase. It's like a sutra. So the Bhagavatam has such composition, where there are certain phrases. I mentioned one of them a couple of verses ago. It's from the second chapter. Yeah. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatrada hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam. So that shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo appears about six places in the Bhagavatam, in very important places. It appears at the beginning of this canto, it appears here in this verse, it appears in the second canto, appears in the 12th canto, where there, a summary message. What is it that one should hear about? Because the Vedic process of knowledge is about hearing. It's derived by the process of hearing. And Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, chanting follows hearing. Giving the message of Krishna consciousness to others follows hearing it, assimilating it, vibrating it. Because it's such a powerful, wonderful message, you want to naturally share it with others, and it enhances your own realization of that message. Okay, so that combination of sound vibrations has a packed up message. Here in this verse, there's a similar sets of phrases. Etavan. Here it's Etavan Eva Yajatam. So Yaja means worship. So the attention right in the first line goes to worship. But there's several other phrases, Etavan Eva Loke Smin. So I just indulge me for a little bit. I'm going to take you on a little tour of a few of the about it 12 or 13 verses that begin in the same way. Etavan Eva Lokesmin Iha Nikshraya Sodayaha. One of them comes in Lord Kapila's instructions to Devahuti in devotional service. And note, this is the subject of devotional service. Devotional service, change in heart. Not just information, change in heart. So, Lord Kapila is also instructing Devahuti about devotional service. It's in Satya Yuga, but it's the same principle. So she's asked, my dear son, when you go away, I won't have any shelter because Kardama Muni, he's already gone away. You're my only shelter while you're here. You please instruct me and what principles I should live my life by? Same type of question as Maharaj Parikshit. He explains the process of devotional service, and then in a summary verse, he says the same thing that Shukadeva Goswami is saying here. Ekavan eva lokesmin punksam nikshraya sodayaha. Almost the same, Sanskrit. Nikshraya sodayaha. Ultimate benefit. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Hey, we just heard that yesterday. Tivrena bhakti yogena. There's the phrase again. The poetry of the Bhagavatam. Tivra bhakti. Mano mayarpitam stiram. Mano mayi. Fixed in the mind, fixed in me. Arpitam means fixed. Stiram. Steadily fixed. How to get the mind steadily fixed in Krishna. Oh, those of you that chant japa and find that your mind wanders when you're chanting japa. You don't need a show of hands. Everyone's hand will go up. How to get to that stage? One of these how-to questions people ask. How to get to the stage where your mind doesn't wander, Maharaj? Read Srimad Bhagavatam and be receptive to the message. Tivrena bhakti yogena maya mano mayarpitam manaha. So he's explained to Devahuti. This is the method. Pungsang nikshraya sodaya. Those that want the nikshraya sodaya, shreyasa, nikshreyasa, udayaha. They want the ultimate benefit, the supreme benediction in their life. I'm ready. Please let me have it. Here it is. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Those whose minds are fixed on the Lord engage in intensive practice of devotional service. If you want intensive practice in devotional service, can you allow your mind to wander? And how to get the mind to not wander? Intensive devotional service, where there's some desire, just as we've been discussing with Dhruva Maharaj, the desire to achieve his shelter. Or in our case, to revive our loving relationship with Krishna. Not because we want a kingdom, but because we want that relationship. We want, in George Harrison's words, we want to love and be loved. Everyone wants those things. There is not an exception in the world. Everyone wants to be loved. And everyone wants to love. And everyone's proposing their loving propensities somewhere else and feeling frustrated. And blaming the something else and becoming, you know, disturbed. Because of our resistance to repose that loving relationship upon the actual object that will satisfy us. The supreme cause of all causes. Just go there. Stop resisting. And there are persons who will assist. Take their assistance. Another place is in the sixth canto. You're still indulging me in my appreciating the poetry of the Bhagavatam. Where Shukadeva Goswami again is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit about how to prevent one from having to experience the hellish planets that are described in the fifth canto. The method that he mentions, don't be surprised, is devotional service. But the most important emphasis in this section is the chanting of the holy name. Etavan eva lokesmin pungsam dharma para smritaha bhakti yogena bhagavati tan nama grahanadibihi. The alliteration even is nice. Tan nama, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So that's the nine processes, but shravanam, kirtanam, emphasis in this canto, this little section that we've been reading, is on the hearing. By hearing the topics, Krishna katamritam, Hari katamritam, the nectarine topics of Krishna, hearing. So then chanting those topics or the names of the Supreme Lord, which is very important for all of us, because within the names of the Supreme Lord, the amrita of Hari Katha is all there. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, it's all there. And we can unpack it if we can chant the holy name without offense. So devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. That's the question that was asked at the end of Canto 1. It's a very similar question that's asked at the beginning of Canto 6. And one more example, you're still indulging me, is Prahlad Maharaj, where he's speaking to his classmates about the importance of devotional service. And then they, after hearing the glories of devotional service, they ask Prahlad, where did you hear all this? We haven't heard any of this in school. Sunda and Amarka haven't taught us any of this. They're only teaching us about demoniac principles, divide and conquer and so on. Where did you hear about devotional service? So he describes that he heard it from Narada while within the womb of his mother, while Hiranyakashipu was out doing his austerities. The demigods came into Indra's palace and found Kayadu, and Narada came and said, place her in my care, because within her womb is a great soul. And he instructed her in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prahlad heard it. And so he's describing what he heard. And here's what he heard. Here's the essence of what he heard. Etavan eva loke smin. Pungsa. Svartha. Para. Smritaha. Ekanta bhaktir govinde. Yat sarvatra tadikshanam. Here's this sarvatra sarvada. Sarvatra. Everywhere. As in the second chapter, the Paramatma is everywhere. Just like Prahlad, when he was asked by Hiranyakashipu, where is your, this Vishnu that you say you're getting your power from? And Prahlad's answer, he's everywhere. Oh, everywhere. Where is he? Where is he? Is he in this pillar? Yes, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. Yat sarvatra tad ikshanam. Ikshanam, one should see him everywhere. How can you see him everywhere? I don't have the eyes. If you have devotion, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, little anjana that you can't buy from any of the pharmacies out here, they don't have premanjana. They may even call a product premanjana. It's not the same. You can't buy it. It's too costly. They can't make it either. It comes from what this verse is saying, by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. So, ekanta bhaktir govinde. Ekanta bhaktir govinde. Exclusive devotion to the personality of Godhead Govinda. By becoming attached to a person, you can see that person everywhere, especially the Supreme Person. And it's not hallucination. It's devotion. Through devotion, the Lord reveals himself. Pungsa svartapara. The topmost benefit. It's a consistent instruction. Besides, the poetry is very wonderful. When you hear those phrases, etavan evalokesmin, now your mind can go to Shukadeva Goswami explaining about the holy name, Prahlad Maharaj explaining about what he heard from Narada while still within the womb. You can think of Shukadeva Goswami instructing Maharaj Parikshit about what is the duty of a person who's about to die and the duty of people in general. And now the punchline of the whole thing is that can be accessed if one has the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Yad bhagavata sangataha. So again the verse, etavan eva yajatam. The yaja tendency, the worship tendency that everyone has. Where do you oppose it so you get this nikshraya sodayaha, the ultimate benefit? Bhagavati achalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. By reposing that tendency upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which becomes possible only when one has Bhagavata Sangataha, the association of the devotee of Bhagavan is the Bhagavata. Of course, there's two Bhagavatas. There's the book Bhagavata, and there's the person Bhagavata. And one should regularly render service unto both. What is that verse from the second chapter? of the first canto that speaks about rendering service to the Bhagavata, how one receives benefit. You know the verse? Huh? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Ah. Nashta, let's say it together. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Okay, so the abhadras, that's inauspicious things, there's subhadra, and then there's abhadra, unwanted, inauspicious things of the heart are nashta, destroyed. Prayeshu, almost completely, by nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly Bhagavata Seva, rendering service to the book Bhagavat, by hearing it and worshipping it and respecting it, and those who deliver the message of Bhagavatam, particularly Narada Muni, Shukadeva Goswami, and such exalted personalities, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and all of the wonderful acharyas in our disciplic succession, hearing the rendering of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, nitya literally means always, but at least regularly, then it becomes possible to get past, now just end the class by revisiting where I started. There's two classes of persons that Prabhupada is indicating in 80% of the purport are persons that just don't get it. It's the persons who are the worshippers of the multi-demigods because they have a desire to be fulfilled, and that's their main interest, is fulfilling desire. And so our Vedic culture teaches, our Vedic wisdom teaches, if you want to fulfill desires, you go and offer your respect to a superior person. And that superior person, being very kind and merciful, will dispense that thing. And then there's categories of desires and categories of demigods, objects of worship. And then one can at least become elevated out of the gross atheistic fruitive mentality. So at least such persons, the benefit that such persons have is they're respecting the authority of the Vedas. But then those persons, without the assistance of Bhagavata Sangataha, the association of pure devotees of the Lord, they'll not understand the limitation of that very process, although it's very clear in Bhagavad Gita. The worshippers of the various demigods, the followers of what is the misnomer calls Hindu Dharma, they think that's the way it's supposed to be. Although Bhagavad Gita is so clear. Why is that provision being made? That there's worship of various demigods when it doesn't give knowledge of the absolute truth? Because there's some persons that just don't want to surrender to Krishna. They have an attitude problem. The same problem that brought them here to the material world is keeping them in the material world. They got an attitude, a bad attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to enjoy independence from you. You can't enjoy independence from me. Well, I want to try anyways. Well, I don't recommend it. I want to try anyways. All right, you can do this way. But mind you, I told you. All right. I want to try anyways. So it leads to piety instead of this other category. Forget the authority of God. Forget anything other than me and my efforts and empiric pursuit of knowledge. Call it modern education or material scientists. Prabhupada likes that phrase, mundane scientists. It's finding the light of the sun with a flashlight. Here you call it a torch. Where's the sun? It's not the method for finding the sun. The sun is self-luminous. But those that refuse the authority of the Vedas, or whatever religious scripture, they don't want to take help from anyone. It's belittling, it's demeaning of how powerful I really am. I don't want to take help from anyone. I'm going to figure it out for myself. Such persons are prevented from understanding the message of Bhagavatam, the region of transcendence. This position of akkama, they will never know. The position of akkama, Prabhupada explains, is the spiritual world where there's only one desire, and that's the desire to satisfy Krishna. Bhajaniya, paramapurusha, sukha, matra, svasukhatvam. My happiness is finding the happiness, experiencing that Krishna is happy. That's my happiness. The happiness of love, and it's not known in this world. It's otherworldly. And so the empiric approach prevents one from understanding that. And the demigod worship prevents one from understanding that. If from either category such person contacts Bhagavata Sangataha, then they can understand. Starting with the message of Bhagavad Gita, but then that's just the intellectual part. Then there's the udaradi, the application part. Don't forget the application part, because you won't advance very far just by knowing what's the correct thing. Application part, where there's gratitude in the heart for that which I've received. In the Leela with Dhruva Maharaj, when he received the instruction, first Narada withheld the instruction. Dhruva, you should just go home. You're just a little boy. You're not going to... Yogis and great personalities, they go to the forest. For many lifetimes, they don't find the end of this path. You're just a six-year-old boy. Go home. Go home to your mother. When you get older, you can come back and you can try. When Narada saw that Dhruva was so determined, he gave him the means to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Being the quality person that Dhruva was, he can understand, what a valuable gift I've been given. Gratitude in the heart of Dhruva was the bridge that carried him to the other side of his material motivation and dissolved it. The mercy of the Supreme Lord, through the mercy of the Lord's representative, Narada, carried him to the other side of his material predicament. And the same thing can happen to us. Whatever our material circumstances, whatever our impure worldly desires for temporary things that we know better, even after understanding so many instructions in the matter, we're still maintaining our material attachments, which is our tenth offense against the holy name. How to dissolve that one? By descending mercy. And it's not just by begging for it, it's by taking that mercy, feeling grateful for the mercy, and acting accordingly. This is this udaradi, or manishinam, or manishi, at the application part. Message is there. It's open book. It's an open book exam. Take your final exam with the book open. And you still won't get it if it's not at the application with deep gratitude. You'll still fail the exam. Birth and death in the material world. Let's not do that. Let's together go to the spiritual world. That's the gift that Srila Prabhupada wanted to give through his presentation in the Bhagavatam. The gift that Shukadeva Goswami wanted to give to Maharaj Parikshit. It's the gift that great personalities want to give to others. You have to receive the gift. Gratitude with proper application, and it will carry us to that ultimate destination. That's the message of this morning's verse. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments someone would like to bring up? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you told that worship and faith both are intrinsic properties of soul.
I heard the word worship clearly, but the rest I didn't.
You told that worship and faith both are intrinsic properties of soul.
Yes.
How are they related? Like
how are they related?
Yeah.
They're very friendly.
How they affect intelligence?
They're just qualities of the soul. What I mean to say by they're both intrinsic to the soul is, as I explained, they're in the pure state of consciousness. Souls worship Krishna. In the pure state of consciousness, they have faith in Krishna. That's how they're related. They're just inherent qualities of the soul.
How faith acts as filter for intelligence?
How is faith?
Acts as filter for intelligence. You told something.
How is faith? Then it got garbled. Accessed?
Filter for intelligence.
How does faith act as a factor of intelligence? Filter of intelligence. Oh, modes of nature. That's the chapter from Bhagavad Gita. If one doesn't have faith in your words, Krishna, does a person not have faith in something? Yes, according to the modes of nature. So according to the modes of nature, one is supplied with intelligence in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance. There's the filter. Modes of nature filter. So the person with the intelligence in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance will read Bhagavad Gita and hear something other than what the person who's doesn't have a filter hears. Same experience, or even for our own experience. Have you had the experience, like most of the rest of us had, when you read Bhagavad Gita again and again, new things you discover, new meanings? They were there before. Why didn't you see them before? Because some filter was up, or attention was elsewhere.
Can we make a faith steady?
Yeah.
How do we cultivate?
How?
Steady,
associate with faithful. And Prabhupada explains, faith is nurtured by acting under proper guidance, or by acting according to instructions. So like this, you hear. Some of the things that you hear get filtered out. Something really strikes and resonates. Wow, that really makes sense. So then you go to the laboratory of life. Let me try this out. And you try it out, you apply it. Whoa! That was really an intense experience. It works. Your faith just increased. So now you go back to that same source and you hear again. Filters some things out. But you now hear another something that really makes sense. With stronger faith, you are able to hear it. Then you go to the laboratory of life and you apply that which you've heard. Whoa! That was powerful. I'm going back again. There's a very wonderful book, Jiva Dharma, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he covers the whole range of nectar devotion, Dasamul Tattva by Lord Chaitanya, and so many things. Exactly in that dialogue. It's a fiction book. It's two guys in Calcutta, you know, around the 1940s, and they hear about these Mahasayas out there in Mayapur. They're curious, no faith at all, just curious. They go and visit. They hear something. Whoa! They go back to Calcutta and try it out, and they go back and visit, and, you know, each visit they're getting more and more faith till they finally submit for instructions in how to live their lives. So that's the process of increasing faith. It's not just by association, but it's also application. Prabhupada writes it right in Bhagavad Gita, a very simple phrase, but faith is nurtured by acting in proper intelligence, according to proper intelligence. Because it works. Your faith has just increased. Some layer of covering has just been removed. Starting with the hearing process, something has been removed, ignorance. Instead, there's knowledge. But this is the emphasis I'm focusing on, it because Prabhupada focuses on it and because it's true.
One final question.
Let me just say it again. The point that's true is there's a difference between knowing something and there's a difference between applying that which you know. And consistently, sarvatra sarvada, in all circumstances, at all times, applying it. That's where we want to be. We're not there. We're in the anishtita bhakti zone. Struggling.
Maharaj,
yeah.
We have curiosity to learn anything. Like that curiosity should be controlled. Like otherwise,
curiosity should be controlled.
I mean, like, we may get deviated any time because of our curiosity.
Inquisitiveness is healthy. The curiosity about sense gratification, that's to be controlled. I wonder what that sense gratification is like. That's to be controlled.
How to?
You should have come to our other classes. We discussed this how to. You can listen to the recording. Let me just see if there's others with some question. Anything else? Yes.
A person, intelligence of discrimination.
A person who has intelligence to do what?
Discrimination.
Discrimination.
A person who has the intelligence of discrimination.
Yeah.
Like, he can think of what is right for him and what is wrong.
Okay, right and wrong, discrimination.
And still he fails to act accordingly.
Yeah.
What could be the reasons, like, he fails to act upon...
What was the last part? What's the reason?
Yeah.
He abandoned that intelligence in favor of some impulse from the modes of nature. The heart of such a person is not pure. Good intelligence is not good enough. The heart has to be pure. I can't go it alone, huh? Nope. The heart has to become pure. Well, how to make the heart pure? Approach those whose hearts are pure and can lead you to Krishna. I don't want to do that. That's the problem. Well, sometimes I want to do it, but not all the time. I value my independence. That's the problem that brought us here. Independent spirit from the personality of Godhead. And it's holding us. So for such a person, they have to learn the hard way. Their intelligence says this is right and that's wrong. some time passes, and they're doing things that are wrong and failing to do some things that are right.
Oh.
What happened? We turned our attention away from Krishna. Prabhupada explained, as a newer devotee, hearing Prabhupada speak, although he spoke in a very simple way many times, the message was so potent and powerful. So I'll share one of those experiences. Prabhupada was explaining that there's no question of taking a leave of absence from devotional service, taking a vacation from devotional service. The mentality of taking a vacation is in the material world. I've worked hard, I deserve a break. There's no break in devotional service. If one has such a mentality, bhoga tyaga, it's on the mental platform. That's what the mind does. Sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting, enjoy, renounce. That's the mind. If one approaches Krishna consciousness on the mental platform, I've done my devotional service, I need a break. So Prabhupada explained, it's not that if you turn your attention away from Krishna, you then have to call Maya. Okay, Maya, come on. Let's do a little thing together for a while. Prabhupada said, no. Immediately Maya is there. And it's just like turning your attention away from the sun and turning your back to the sun, immediately there is shadow. Immediately Maya is there. You slacken in your submission to Krishna. Your intelligence said, submission to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna, 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 Krishna. Intelligence is active and alert, making fine discriminations. This is right and the other is wrong. Take a vacation. Immediately Maya is there. You don't have to call. Maya, can you please come here? Immediately Maya is there. Immediately. That's the default mode. Right?
Maharaj, like a person who comes to devotional service, a neophyte devotee, does he have the capacity to perform devotional service consistently? Well,
the capacity is of the soul. So capacity is there. But conditioning is something else. Is the capacity there? Yes. Is the conditioning strong? Yes. So what to do? Stay in close association. And when you slacken, someone can tap you on the shoulder. Prabhuji. Krishna. That's what a good friend is. And if one doesn't recognize that gesture as a gesture of friendship, what do you mean? Krishna. You be Krishna conscious. What's wrong with you? Leave me alone. That's our independent spirit. That's the root of the problem. And it's pervasive. But Krishna is stronger. Which is stronger, light or darkness? Light. Go to the light. Tamasimam Jyotir Gama. That's the phrase from Sanskrit that the Back to Godhead magazine masthead comes from. Back to Godhead. Jyotir Gama. But Tamasi Ma. No, thank you. Say yes to Krishna. We had a weekend retreat in our farm in Pennsylvania, Gita Nagari Farm. Everyone that came got a button. say yes to Krishna. It was a nice retreat. We explored all the ways that we say no to Krishna. It was a long list. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.